Paul was not content with his walk with Christ. Say, now, Bill, how do you know that? He says, not that I have already attained. He says, oh, no, I am pressing in. I am reaching forth for the high calling, the prize of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Paul wasn't content with his walk, are you?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We are so blessed to have you tuning in today as Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of Philippians. The message today is titled, The Secret of Contentment. Now, let's join Pastor.
Philippians chapter 4, and let me begin. In verse 10, Paul the Apostle writes and he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then the scripture we all know so well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we praise you for this day, especially, Lord, for those that came to Christ in the early service. Lord, how magnificent and wonderful you are. People brought into the kingdom just a little bit ago, saved. Oh, Lord, how good you are. And Father, we pray also that your will be done in the Middle East. That Father, we just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Matter of fact, we pray for the peace of this world. And Lord, I hope that's not too large of a request, because I know there'll be no peace until you come. Father, so bless your word today. Help me to teach it. And not only that, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that this word today, somehow, some way, as you always do, let it stay in the hearts of your sheep. Let it take root, and Lord, there right now, as we move into your word, and let it become living, always living, and let them never forget this text, this message today. We ask it, we believe it in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. God is good. You know, the text before us is so vitally important, okay? You know, we want to talk about the secret of contentment. I'll ask you a question. Are you content right now? Some of you may say, I'm not content. The music was too loud, or it wasn't loud enough, or you know what I mean. Come on. Listen, you know, when we speak about contentment, the world at large, I mean, boy, I'll tell you, we're living in the age of discontentment. Amen? It's one empty pursuit after another. Remember that Paul, this is a thank you letter to the church at Philippi from Paul. And he's writing from prison. And it is literally the most joyous letter that he ever penned. And we can have joy and we can be content no matter what we're facing in our life. You know, King David, he wrote about not being content. In Psalm 55:6, he said this, so I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away. Oh, I would rest. Indeed, I would wander afar off. I would remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape. In other words, he wanted to get out of town. Amen? You ever just wanted to get out of town? I've got to get out of here. I can't take it anymore. The traffic is driving me crazy. I need to change location. The word hasten my escape there literally means I need to change. I need to find a place in Colorado, in other words. If I can just find a cabin in Colorado, I know that I will be content. The fresh air, the Rocky Mountain High. You know what I'm saying? I'll be out there and I'll be so content, Lord, until I look over and see that person has a better cabin than I have. Are you with me? Yes, loved one, listen to me. Contentment is never found in changing locations. However, you can change your location and be content for a season, can't you? But then all of a sudden, does discontentment come back? Yes, it does. So this morning, we're going to look at the secret of contentment. Someone said this. Said there was an airline pilot that was flying over the Tennessee mountains and pointed out a lake to his co-pilot and said this. You see that little lake down there? He says, when I was a kid, a little boy, I used to sit in a rowboat down there, and man, I would fish. And every time a plane would fly over, I'd look up and wish I was flying it. Now I look down and wish I was in that rowboat fishing. You see what I mean? The state of contentment. Now listen very carefully. What I'm about to tell you, if you don't get anything out of the message this morning, it is my earnest and heartfelt prayer that you don't forget what I'm about to tell you. We have taken a scripture that you know by heart, that you have memorized, and you have quoted, I have quoted a million times, and that is verse 13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? You know it, I know it. But here's what I want you to get. If you don't get this, you won't be able to embrace the living word the right way. You know, that verse has been misquoted and misused, well, actually 4:13 and 4:19, and that's next Sunday, the Lord willing, more than any other Bible verse. Do you understand? I mean, everybody uses that verse. Well, I don't know if it was Tim Tebow or whoever, but you know the black stuff the football players put on right under their eyes? And now they're putting scriptures. Have you noticed that? And I think Tebow, and I could be wrong, he's a great guy, but I think that when he was playing ball, he had Philippians 4:13 right here, and there's nothing wrong with that, except here's the deal. It's not about football. You know, I can do all things. I'm going to bring you down, man. You know what I'm saying? You do. Look at this. Look at this, you know. Now, is that what that God wants us to use that scripture for? No. What happens if you win? Praise the Lord. But what if you lose? You couldn't. Well, evidently, all things didn't work for you. Do you see what I'm getting at? So the devil, what he has done, he's taken one of the most favorite verses in the Bible that we use for nearly everything. You know, I'm in traffic. I can do all things through Christ Jesus strengthening me. You know, you're in a grocery line, you know, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. There's that person up there in the groceries, and there was a problem. They have to go back and check it, remember? And you're just going, I can do all things. That scripture really isn't for that, amen? So the devil, what he wants to do is let you use that scripture for everything. And it is true. Yes, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. But the problem is this, is that this text is so important this morning about contentment. See, to know the text, read the context. So when we look at this scripture this morning, it is dealing with circumstances and contentment and not being content. And then we need to embrace that scripture and apply it when we're in those circumstances. Does that make sense? So it's so important. See, he wants the devil, he really has. He's taken that verse and just use it for anything. But that's not what it's all about. So with all that being said, now that you have that underneath your blessed assurance or whatever this morning, look at verse 10 with me. Paul the apostle, he's writing, he's closing out this great letter, this thank you letter, if you will. And he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord. And look how he did. It says greatly. That now at last your care for me has flourished again or one more time. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. So Paul is closing out this great epistle, and he uses the word rejoice or joy now for the last time in his letter, this thank you letter to the church at Philippi. There are 14 verses left. They are full of incredible instruction, but we're only going to cover verses I read, which are 4 verses this morning. So remember that Paul, he's in prison, he's in Rome, he's chained to a guard, and he says, man, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. And what was the reason? He says, now at last your care has flourished. And he says again. So the word flourished again in the Greek is a picture of springtime, of a tree that's finally, the fruit and the leaves are starting to bud out. Paul is saying, you guys refresh me again. Now, if we read verses 16 on to, say, 18, we know what Paul is referring to because Epaphroditus has now arrived in prison. He's brought Paul a care package, a money package, or whatever it is to take care of his needs. So at least 10 years have passed since Paul planted the church, the first Christian church in Europe in Philippi. And so obviously they haven't seen Paul or any of those things. So Paul says, man, your love for me has flourished again. Not that you didn't care. He says, I know you care. I know that you're probably praying for me and that you've loved me and so forth, but you lacked opportunity to show that kind of love to me. So what is Paul saying? He's saying right here, he says, listen, you lack that opportunity because obviously you didn't know that I was in prison. You know, Paul didn't have an iPhone, right? You know, hey guys, I am in Rome, you know, chained to a guard. He didn't have that. So whenever news came to the church at Philippi, immediately, in other words, that Paul was in prison, immediately they sent Epaphroditus with this care package. And look what Paul says. This is so important. He says in verse 11, he says, after he thanks them and loves them and all that, he says, listen, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in, that's an important word, in whatever state I am to be content. Now, the word need there speaks of being in poverty, you know, of being in great need. And so Paul, the prisoner right now, did he ever make an appeal for money to the church at Philippi? Matter of fact, only the church at Philippi are the ones that helped him. He didn't write letters to all the churches, say, listen, you guys are on my mailing list, you're my partners, and I don't know what I would do without you guys, but right now we're in great need, and I'm going to send out this book to you, and if you'll give me a huge offering, then I won't have to go off the air. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not being critical of it. I've never done that, you know, but maybe one day I will do that. I don't think so. You know, Pastor Chuck never did that I know of. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, with all that being said, Paul the Apostle, he says, listen, I rejoice in that gift. I rejoice in the Lord in the gift that you sent me. But I want you to know something. This is so vital. He says, thank you for the gift, but I want you to know that I'm not dependent upon your gift. Boy, that is so important. It's important in the 21st century church. Write this very minute, loved one. Why did Paul say that? Look at it again. He says, for I have what? Learned. He says, I have learned from the Damascus Road to this prison cell in Rome all those years, 30 years nearly. He says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Listen, I could never be content in the state of Arkansas, could you? You know what I'm saying? It's just whatever state, or Oklahoma, God, if you're from, it's okay. But, you know, oh, no. Listen, I want to ask you a question tenderly. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church forever triumphant. We need to be able to say with Paul, because we are full of the Spirit, just like Paul was, washed in the same blood, we need to be able to say with Paul, whatever state I'm in, whatever circumstances I'm in at the very present moment, he says, I'm content. Paul says, I'm not mastered by circumstances. I'm not mastered by the conditions that I might be in. He's saying the things that are happening to me, the things that are happening around me will never control my destiny. I am content. Have you come to the point in your walk where you can say, you know what, the things that are happening to me, whatever warfare or the conditions or the circumstances, have you come to the point to say, you know what, you don't control my destiny? Let me ask you a question. Can anything stop Philippians 1:6 from working in you? Being confident this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it to the very day of Christ? Do you follow what I'm saying? You know, or when the world says, oh, look, you're guilty, da, da, da. No, 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 you don't know. I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty at all because the courtroom of heaven declared me not guilty. Amen? Listen, can anything stop Jesus from being with you until the end of the age? No. No, you see, so the things and your conditions, they do not control your destiny, if you see what I'm saying. You are inscribed on the very palms of God's hands. Amen? He is so close to you. He's with you right now. So that's very important that we know those things. So he says, not that I speak in regard to need. And he goes again, for I have learned, very important word, learned. That word, the verb learn there, literally means I have learned by experience. I have learned. And that experience is a teacher, isn't it? But, you know, we go through situations and it's only when we look back and say, God brought me through it, but we probably were not content in it. Does that make sense? But we look back, and that's good to be able to look back and say, oh, God did this and God did that. But he says, I've learned by experience, no matter what state I'm in, no matter what circumstance I'm in, I've learned to be content. That word content literally means I've learned to be self-sufficient or entirely self-sufficient. And Paul used a word, that word content, self-sufficient, that was a very important word in his day. And not so much today because of what he was dealing with. The Romans and the Greeks, remember the Stoic ethics and the Stoic philosophy of that time? Let me read to you what they believed. The Stoics, they believed to be entirely self-sufficient was the highest aim of Stoic ethics. By it, the Stoics meant a state of mind in which an individual was absolutely independent of all things and of all people. The Stoics believed that the only way to contentment was to abolish all desire until a stage had been reached when nothing and no one was essential. If I kept reading from the history book there, you would learn that even when they had become so stoic and so self-sufficient that they could watch their best friend, their parent, die, and it didn't move them. And the reason? They had no feeling. I want to ask you a question. Is this what Paul the apostle is talking about when he says self-sufficient? No, loved one, not at all. Listen, Paul's not saying that. He's not saying poverty is great and all those things. He's not doing that at all. He wasn't living in denial or didn't have a false mental peace. He knew, like we learned last Sunday, that his heart and mind was being guarded by the peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen? That's what he was doing. So the Stoics said this, I will learn to be content by a deliberate act of my own will. Meaning the Stoics at Paul's day, they were self-sufficient. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, I have learned. Why? Because Paul was God-sufficient. Amen? And that's what's so important. Look at verse 12 now. As a result now of learning, he says, I know how to be abased. That means to be brought low. The word there in the Greek is a picture of a river in time of drought, meaning there's nothing there. It means to live very, very humbly. It means to live without. He says, I've learned that. And he says, and I've also, I know how, because he's learned, he says, I know how to live in prosperity, or the word there, abound. And look at the other part. Everywhere, no matter where I am, prison or out of prison. He says, I've learned everywhere and in all things, meaning any circumstance that I'm faced with in my life, I am content. You know, abounding or not abounding? You know, poverty or rich man, poor man. Did you know both are trials, aren't they? If you're a multimillionaire or you live in poverty, each has its own trial, loved one. And so contentment, you know, is not like an escape from the battle where, you know, we can be in our lazy boy forever. You know what I'm saying? That's not what this is talking about at all. Paul says this, I'm content when I have a roof over my head or when I have no roof over my head. Have you ever had no roof over your head? You know what's good about being a little boy? Being a little boy, you don't have any wisdom. Does that make sense? And you're not afraid because you don't know to be afraid of it. You know, when I didn't have home as a little boy, you know what I did? I would go down to the bus stop, and so people would think I was catching a bus at night because I had any place to go. And I would sit there and I would just count the cars, you know, or I would learn every model of car. But you know what? I was content. Sometimes I would go over to a telephone booth. You remember a telephone booth? No? Okay. You know, there was a telephone on the wall. It was a booth. It had a little door. You'd shut it. Put in a nickel. Remember? And if you were really good, you'd hit the coin thing and the nickel would come back. Some of you know that, don't you? You know? Or I just play it like I was talking to people. You know, Paul says, here's the deal. I'm content. I don't have a home. Or I do have a home. I am content. When I'm in prison and when I get out of prison, I don't want to be in prison. I don't like being in prison. But he says, I am content. He says, I've suffered dangers in the city and dangers in the country, dangers for my own countrymen. He says, but I'm content. I've been beaten. Silas and I were in prison. We were beaten with rods. We were put in the stocks. And what did we do? He said, I sang hymns at midnight. He said, I'm content. I'm content. I'm not discontent. Boy, listen, I look at Paul and say, dear Lord, if any man should have been discontented, it should have been Paul, amen? I mean, there he is in prison. He's waiting right now on a life or death verdict from Nero. I'm going, dear Lord, he's been shipwrecked, left for dead. He's been stoned. He's been all of those things. And he says, I have learned both to be full and to be empty, to be hungry. I have learned both to abound and to suffer need. That word need means financial need. And it is amazing to me. Paul says, I'm content when full as I am when hungry. I'm content when I'm abounding as I am when I am not abounding. Paul, writing this, is chained to a guard. He's writing this epistle out. I want to ask you a question. Was Paul the apostle, was he a man of action? He would go anywhere, wouldn't he? He was fearless. He wanted to win the whole world to Christ. I mean, and there he was. He is chained. Do you think that he was just, I mean, you know how it is to be locked up and say, I've got cabin fever. I've got to get out of here. Three of you? Paul didn't say that. He said, yeah, I'm chained. He said, but I'm content. I'm content in this circumstance that I'm in. Do you know we find Paul content in everything except one thing? Paul was not content with his walk with Christ. You say, now, Bill, how do you know that? Because we've already learned that. He says, not that I have already attained, not that I have already arrived. He says, oh, no, I am pressing in. I am reaching forth for the high calling, the prize of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? He says, I'm still going from glory to glory to glory. Paul wasn't content with his walk. Are you? Very important. Are you content where you are? Well, then if you are, you're not going from glory to glory. So Paul says, no, I'm not content with, I keep going on, pressing in. But he says, I'm content with my circumstances and the things that I am facing. So what was Paul's secret? Now listen, I'm going to show it to you. In verse 11, do you see there's the word learned? Is that correct? Okay, now in verse 12, did he use that word learned again? Now, see, that's the problem sometimes if we don't have a good concordance or a Greek lexicon or something to do word studies. See, because it's translated into English for us, and we say, okay, learned and learned, they're the same. But see, they're not the same words. The first one, remember, I have learned by experience. Now he tells us how he learned the secret of contentment, okay? So the word learned there, again, it's not the same. It means this. To be initiated into a mystery. Or you could put it this way, to be let in on a secret or to be let in on a mystery. So it means to learn a secret. Paul says, I've learned a secret in my walk, and that is that where true commitment is actually found. So we should probably, if we're studying, we go, okay, Paul, why don't you share that secret with us? The problem is we know the secret. We know the secret. We know the secret because we've memorized the secret with all of our heart. But the problem is, do we understand it and do we believe the secret? Does that make sense? Let's look at it together. I can do all things, and let's stop right there. In context, what are we talking about? We're talking about hungry, full, doing without, having much, having nothing. Amen? He's saying every circumstance, whatever you're facing, keep this text in context because there's the power in the circumstances that you're facing or the discontentment that you have in your life. He says to listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is present tense continuous in the Greek, which means second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, you have all you need in the one who loves you. Amen? That's what that scripture means. And you go, now wait a minute, Bill, maybe that's not a good translation because my favorite version is the Amplified version. It says this, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength unto me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with the conclusion to The Secret of Contentment. And we do look forward to seeing you once again. We want to thank you for listening today, and please enjoy the rest of your day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.